morning, everyone. We welcome you to our services here at Grace Bible Church, and we're glad that you are here in our call to worship this morning. I was reading again in Psalm 55, which ever since college days has been such a very, very important psalm in my personal life. And I thought about this in regard to Mike Threet, as he's going to be leaving tomorrow, I believe. Is that right? Headed up to UAB? Is that right? And if you would please look with me at verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That verse of Scripture has been such a challenge to me through the years, that we all have burdens, right? We all have burdens. They all take various forms. It can be medical. It could be social. It can be marital. It could be, you go down the list of all the possible job-related burdens that we have. What am I supposed to do with that burden? Bible says here and in other locations as well, we're to cast that burden upon the Lord, and it says, He shall sustain thee. He'll be the one that just comes up underneath and sustains and upholds, and then He says, He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. That encouragement, folks, is what allows us to be able to get up in the morning and to be able to go out through our days. No matter what burden we have, we can take it and we can cast it upon Him. I want to encourage you, and as we remember Brother Mike this week in prayer, and I hope that all of you will do that every day as he goes up to UAB, that we're to cast this burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain Mike and Sharon and Allison and Laura and Brian. Just go down the list of all the folks in their family and in our church family. The Lord will sustain them all. But what do we have to do with burden first? We have to cast it on Him. He'll care for it. When you cast it, He'll take it and He'll run with it. And we need to understand that and know that. And what a blessing it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the sustainer of every one of us who know Him as His child. Would you take your hymn books, please? We want to begin by turning to number 553. Hear ye the Master's call, give me thy best. 553. Let's stand together as we sing.
Thank you. Bow in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have here this morning to be in your house. And Lord, we just thank you for just the freedom that we have to worship you in truth. And Lord, we just thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your goodness on our lives. And just ask that you would help each one of us to live for you each and every day, Lord, and that we would be salt and light for you throughout the community. And Father, we thank you for the rain that you've brought to us after having such a dry previous month, Lord. We just thank you for the watering that you've given to all our vegetation all around us. And Lord, I pray that you would be with the different prayer requests that have been raised here in church. We think of Brother Mike and Sharon, Lord, with the trials that he's had with his health. And Lord, we just thank you so much that he's feeling better and not pain-free, but doing so much better and able to go through each day comfortable. And I just pray that you'll be with that family with the loss of Sharon's mom here recently also, and just comfort them and just give them peace and grace and strength, Lord. Pray also for all the many folks throughout our body that are traveling this weekend, vacations and whatnot, just with the holiday. Just ask that you would give them safety on the roads and just a good time of relaxation and peace. And Father, we just pray that you'd be with the service now. I ask that you would be with Pastor as he preaches, and just ask that you would give him wisdom and guidance, and just with the words that he shares with us, and that you would help us to leave changed from the reading and the preaching of your word this morning. We ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. Let's turn together now to number 545. 545. We'll continue to sing as unto the Lord. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me. Number 545.
Oh,
Take your hymn books, please, and let's turn together to number 400. Number 400, we're going to sing just on the first stanza. Number 400, Like a River Glorious. Appreciate that trumpet number by Roger and by Vanessa. Take your Bibles, please, and join me at Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. This is the last in the series that I'm going to be doing on unwise and wise. We took a little break from our study in Ecclesiastes, and Lord willing, in a couple of weeks, we'll get back into that series together. But I think it's so important for us to realize this moral imperative, this stratum of filtering that we need to have in our lives as believers, of taking our decision making through this process of, is it wise or is it unwise? Not simply, does the Bible say it's wrong? Well, it doesn't say it's wrong. Well, I'm going to go ahead and do it then. No. There's so many other areas of filtering that we need to go through in order for us to determine whether something is God's will for us to do or not to do. And we've been walking through this, and I'm going to just take you to some verses of Scripture here in Proverbs 14. We'll be back in Proverbs 12 in just a moment. But in chapter 14, I'd like for you to look at verses 15 and 16. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man, the wise man, looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. These thoughts here provide a platform for us today to conclude our series, I think, on this matter of, is it wise, is it unwise? There are many things that are very clearly right and wrong. There are things that clearly indicate themselves to be evil as opposed to that which is good. There are things that indicate that they are darkness rather than light. But there are many areas of life that are not as clear-cut, and we know that. We've all had to make choices and decisions in our lives, and we struggled sometimes with what should we do. And this one area, this matter of is it wise or is it unwise, will save you so much trouble, save you so much difficulty, if you're willing to go through that filter. And I say willing because there are so many people today that say they stop short because they're afraid that going through that filter will tell them you can't do this, and they want to do it really bad. All right? They want to do it. And they've already set their heart and their mind in motion to do this, and they know in the back of their mind that it's probably not wise to do so, but they really want to do it. And so they put the weight of their will against the weight of is it wise or unwise, and wise and unwise gets thrown out. And they just go do it. And sometimes the consequences are not immediate, and people begin to build up in their minds, well, and say, there was no problem with that. But sometimes the consequences don't play out until years later. And we need to understand and know that about consequences for choices that are made. I might choose to, as some people do, to smoke. Now, I would never do that. I could go down the list of people that I know. I was on visitation at a hospital many, many years ago, and there was a lady from the ballpark that I just happened to pass through, and she was outside. That was back in the days when they used to let you go outside to smoke if you were a patient. And she was outside smoking with her tracheotomy, too. She had her cigarette stuck in there, and she was smoking that way. And I said, well, what are you doing here in the hospital? So well, they put a trach tube in because I couldn't breathe. And I said, and you're smoking. I said, that's harming you. She said, I don't care. He said, they fixed me here. They can fix me again. Well, she didn't leave the hospital. She died. I came back 2 weeks later, and she had already passed from some other related sickness that she had at that particular time. But that consequence. We don't understand really all the consequences of the decisions that we make in life, but it has a long-term effect. And wise and unwise will help filter things down to keep you from having the long-term effects of poor choices. So in this passage of Scripture here, and I want to just share a few things before I conclude our message today. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. The fool believes everything he hears. Now, I hope you don't believe everything that you hear. All right. We have a little saying at schools, the parents come in complaining about something that a teacher says. So, well, listen, if you don't believe half of what your kids say about the teacher, we won't believe half of what your kids say about you. Talk about throwing ice on the fire. Yeah. Yeah, they talk at school. My mommy did this. My daddy did that. They're talking all the time. You know, and so we have to tell our teachers, just filter it, let it go or whatever, unless it's something very serious that's going on, and then we have to act on that. But the fool believes everything he hears without a filter. That's the idea behind this. He doesn't have something in place to filter the thoughts that are coming through and to make a wise choice with that. They don't have that filter. It's removed. All right? What happens to an air conditioner in your home if you don't replace the air filter on a regular basis, once a month, is what you're supposed to do? What happens to that filter? It's all clogged up with dust and garbage and so forth. And then the air can't pass through. It's no longer effective as a filter because it's not allowing air to pass through. You don't get cool and you sit there and sweat. Wonder what's going on. Well, you need to go replace your air filter. That filter is very important because it's keeping from destroying the evaporator core that's inside, getting clogged up with dirt, which will stop it from cooling altogether. You need your filter, Christian, all the time. And one of the filters that God's provided for you is the wisdom filter. All right. Number two, the fool demands his way. He rages. In the Hebrew, it's the idea of, I'm going to have my way. You ever seen children pitch fit? Yeah, it's been a while since I've been in the toy section of Walmart. But I remember being in there one time, and we were I had one of the kids, I forget who it was, we were walking through there, and there was this boy. He was on the floor just kicking, pounding the floor with his foot, you know. His mommy had told him that he couldn't have the truck that was on the shelf, and he was just romping. None of you would ever have done that, right? Right? None of you have ever done that? Can you see Lynn Smith, whenever he was little, pounding the floor? No, that didn't happen, did it? Yeah, for most of us, it would have been a come-to-Jesus moment at that time, and our little pity party would have ended. But this child was just going on and then took a swing at Mama. Whew. Boy, it took all I could do to keep from just running over there, you know, the administrator in me. You know, no, we're not going to have that. You know, but you know what she did? She picked him up, put it in there, she grabbed the thing off the shelf and put it in there, and down they went. Kid was just as happy as all get out. He got what he wanted. What's the consequence 10 years from now? Oh, there's no consequence. I hear people say that. That's stupid. There's no consequence for that. Let me tell you something, what the consequence is. Mouthing off to a cop that pulls him over for speeding. Okay, that's a consequence. I get what I want. You don't pull me over. You don't pull me over. Next thing you know, he's stuffed in the back of the seat of the squad car, and they're heading down there to the police station because of his mouth running. Yeah, he got what he wanted. It has consequences. The fool demands his way, and not only that, he's confident in his way. All right? But what about the wise person? The prudent has a filter in place. Notice this, please. It says here, and the wise man feareth and departeth from evil. Something came between him and an evil action. What was it? Wisdom. Wisdom came and stood between his current position and the action to be taken that would take him into evil, and wisdom stood there and said, don't do it. Don't do it. And he didn't do it. He feared, and he didn't go down that way. Not only that, the prudent is circumspect. Now, that's the idea of the Hebrew behind that word fears. Circumspect. He has some things in place in his life that keep him from doing certain things. You know what's happened in a lot of people's lives is there used to be a filter there, but it's kind of crumbled and gotten clogged up over the years. We spent over $1,000 buying new filters for the pool, all right? And the number one thing that clogs up our filters in our big pool system out there is sunscreen. Okay, how many of you knew that? Okay. Sunscreen. Into the pool, all right? And what does it do? It washes off the body, and where does it go?
Oh, it just goes somewhere.
Yeah, it goes somewhere. It goes right into the filter, all right? And Roger will pull out those big racks of filters. How many of them are there total? 54 filters. He's got them memorized. He's got names for them. And he pulls them out, and he has to take it all apart, and then he has to pressure wash all that sunscreen off of there because it's blocking the water from going through the pump to get the chlorination so it goes back in there. And so we have to do that all the time. That's not fun, is it? And here's the thing. People grow weary of using the filter instead of being thankful for it. And as a result of that, things start getting into their lives that shouldn't be there. The Lord taught this to the disciples, did he not? He said, come, let me wash my feet. And what does Peter say? No, you're not washing my feet. And Jesus said, if you have no part of me, you don't have any of me. And Peter said, well, don't just wash my feet, wash all of me. And he said, you don't have need of that either. What was his problem? He needed his feet washed. Gotten dirty. So you have to bring in that filter, the wisdom filter. So the prudent has a filter in place, and the prudent is very circumspect, and he departs from the evil because wisdom spoke. And he listened to wisdom. So let's continue on. Choosing wisely. How many of you have seen this meme on Facebook? I saw this. My wife sent this to me on Messenger. It says, you are the books you read, the movies you watch, the music you listen to, the people you spend time with, the conversations you engage in. Choose wisely what you feed your mind. That's a good meme. Choose wisely. Just because a book comes out from a publisher doesn't mean I need to go buy it and read it. Read the reviews, first of all. Maybe it's got filthy language in it. You don't need to be putting that in your mind. Maybe it's got filthy scenarios and stuff. You don't need that in your mind. The Bible says we're to be simple concerning evil and wise. Ooh, there's that word again. And wise to that which is what? Good. So I've got my filter in place. The fork in the road may be a false choice. I thought about doing that this morning, putting a table up here and putting two coffee cups upside down and let y'all see it. I didn't do it, but I could have. And I was going to have Tabitha or Seth or one of y'all come up here and said, all right, I've got something good under one of these cups. Choose wisely. But you know what? I wasn't going to have anything underneath the cups. He said, how mean, Pastor Brainerd. Right? No, I was going to make a point. Here's two cups turned upside down, and I say, there's something good under one of them. Choose wisely. Flipped over the first one, empty. Huh, you didn't choose wisely. You're out of luck. No, flip the other one over. There's nothing there either. You lied. Oh, welcome to the world. Right? Welcome to this world. This is how it works. They say, oh, there's a fork in the road. Take the one on the right. Well, you may not. Both of them may be wrong. You may need to turn around and go back. You see, this is where wisdom comes in. Some choices are false. Some choices may involve a turning around and going back from where you came, because now you're going to head off into destruction both ways. Number two, make yourself go through the process of filtering out the unwise. Now, why do I say make yourself do that? There are just some things we just don't like to do, all right? There are just some things in life we have to do, but we don't like to do. I don't particularly like raking the leaves in our yard, all right? So we have two lawnmowers with bags on them, all right, baggers. Guess what? Does the lawnmower pick up all the leaves? Sometimes the leaves are so bad I make one pass, shut it off, take the full bag, go to over here. I'm doing twice as much work if I'd have just raked it up into piles. You know? You kind of learn things as you get older. I don't particularly like raking, you know. You have blisters on your hands. And, you know, you got to pick up all those leaves and haul them off and so forth like that. But the job needs to be done. So I force myself to go out and rake the leaves and pick them up, pick up the sticks after a storm, you know, mow the grass when it needs to be cut. There's a lot of things in life that we have to do. We don't necessarily like to do, but we force ourselves to do them so we can have order in our lives. Do I hear an amen? Yeah, like doing the dishes. How many of you like eating on dirty dishes? Nobody does. Nobody likes to go into a restaurant and see the stack of plates right there, and you go pick off the top, and you look on there, and there's dried egg from breakfast on there. Oh, that's a pleasant sight to see. Yellow stuck on there, all right? How many of you would just go and then go on? Anybody? What? Samuel? No, I wouldn't do that. No, the plate's going back up on the counter, and you're on the second time. You're a little more what? Careful. Oh, there's one. And off I go. All right? I want a clean plate. I want a clean plate. Now, make yourself go through the process of filtering out the unwise. It's worth the effort. The blessing will not only play out in the short term, but it will play out in the long term with wise consequences. Wise consequences come about. Always choose wisdom and avoid the appearance of evil. I am so glad that God included that verse of Scripture. Abstain from all appearance of evil. 2 Timothy. Isn't that a wonderful, 1 Timothy, excuse me. Isn't that a wonderful passage to remember? Just abstain from all appearance of evil. That puts up another filter, does it not? Well, that appears to be wrong. Okay, I'm not going to do it. Most people today do not have that filter. They never take the time to say, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't pass the smell test spiritually. That looks like that's going to end up being somebody's going to get hurt by that, or someone's going to have their business destroyed, or somebody's going to be personally, spiritually hurt by those words that I might say. So I'm not going to say them because I want to avoid all appearance of evil. Choose wisdom. Avoid the cultural choice. What's the cultural choice? This is, you hear this in the media all the time. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. All right? Well, that sounds so plausible. And who wants to be different? Everybody wants to do the same thing. You know, whenever all these newfangled technological stuff comes out, my son and I were talking about some of the new trucks that are coming out today have got all kinds of problems with them. The transmissions go out at 50,000 miles. They've got technological issues with them, where the computers go out and it costs thousands of dollars to get them fixed and so forth like that. Sometimes all the neat new fangled type stuff aren't as good as what the old fangled stuff was, right? You know, you can get something that's so sophisticated it doesn't work. Over in Pensacola this week, a man had his electric lawnmower and he had his batteries pulled out sitting up in the shed, and they both caught fire. Okay? It just lit up out. He came home and saw smoke billowing out, and it was too bad. He left it in a hot shed instead of putting the batteries in a cool spot. As a result, he's out $700-800 for a lawnmower. You're going to have to go buy all new batteries. Okay, burned up. By the way, it was just a few feet away from his gas can with his old lawnmower. All right? So, you know, sometimes cultural choices can be wrong. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean that I have to do it. So we have to be careful. It is probably unwise. I've told you this story before. We had a young man in the ministry years and years ago. And there used to be a problem with people jumping off the Pond Creek Bridge over there where the Taco Bell is, jumping in head first because the water is dark there. And they thought it was a deep hole, and it wasn't. Stumps, all kinds of stuff. And it was a young man that jumped in head first, broke his neck, and was paralyzed for the rest of his days. And there have been several others that had happened to. And they used to have a sign. I don't know if anybody remember that. I was a kid. They said, "No diving off the bridge. No diving off the bridge." Well, now it's so built up in there, everybody knows it shall. Nobody jumps off the bridge anymore. But back in those days, when it was hot, everybody wanted to jump in and cool off in Pond Creek, they'd jump off the bridge. Now, it used to be something that people, just jump feet first. Have you ever landed on a stump feet first? Anybody know how that feels? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know that you jump feet first. You jump head first, crack your head open, break your neck. That's trouble. Well, everybody does it! It used to be the dare at Milton High School. Did you know that? Years ago, they would dare people, go jump off head first off the Pond Creek Bridge. Well, some people would do it just because they were dared to do it. Peer pressure. All right? Let me tell you something. Don't succumb to that. Don't succumb to that. Don't take the cultural choice. Everybody's doing it. It's probably what? Unwise. Probably unwise. So, we're moving right along here. Using the wise, unwise moral standard. I've given just a handful of categories here that need to be filtered through the wise, unwise. And this is where you start losing people, right here. When you start identifying categories, people go, "Oh, not that one. Oh, not that one. No, no. Not going to use the filter on that one." Why? Because it's keeping them potentially from doing something that they really want to do. And that's a powerful emotion. The want to. I want it really bad. So I'm gonna, whatever it takes, I'm gonna get it. Well, first of all, something's wrong with that. If that's what's driving you, something's wrong with that. Something needs to be moderated. Something needs to be brought through the filter in that regard. When it comes to music, alcohol, dress, speech, ethics, the treatment of others, how you treat other people, whether it be in a business context, whether it be in a family context, doesn't matter, church context, how you treat other people is important. If you're in the church and you only have just a little handful of friends in the church and those are the only ones you talk to and so forth like that, what are you doing? Ethically, what are you doing? You're isolating yourself from being a blessing to others. Right? So what should you do? You should stop it. That's what you should do. And start being friendly with all. That's such an important thing. Reach out to others. Well, I don't know who they are. Well, meet them. Well, they probably won't want to talk to me. Well, you'll never find out, will you? Because you've already isolated yourself. Ethics. How you treat other people. How about movies, social media, dating and marriage? Should that be filtered through the wise, unwise category? Absolutely. Money and investments. There are just some things that you ought not invest your money in. Yeah, but you don't understand. That's making money hand over fist. Yeah, but what if it's in a vile area? Maybe pornography. And you're investing in that? What are you doing? You're destroying people's lives. That doesn't pass the wise, unwise filter, does it? You can go down. Decision-making in general. Just everyday choices. Do you realize how many thousands of everyday choices? You've already made a couple of hundred choices since you got up this morning. What? Yeah. You chose to put on the clothes that you have today. All right? You made choices. This combination put together, my wife didn't do it, so I can't blame her. This was me that did it this morning. I had the combination here, and I made those choices. I chose the shoes that I'm wearing. I chose how fast to get to church this morning. Some people chose not to go to church this morning, all right, because it's Labor Day weekend. But people made choices. Now, in the everyday decision-making process, should there be a wise, unwise filter used? Yeah, obviously. If you don't, you're setting yourself up for trouble. Let's go back to the Proverbs 12 and then I'm done. Proverbs 12, I told you, is one of those proverbs that just stands out in the Scriptures because it is a comparison of the wise and the unwise. the wise and the unwise. And it is a very instructive chapter, I think, for young people. I've actually preached messages from this particular passage of Scripture about helping young people, making wise choices. All right? Love's instruction in verse 1. If you have your Bible still open at chapter 14, you can look over to chapter 12, Proverbs 12. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. All right? I might not like instruction. Let's say I'm going to learn how to ride a motorcycle. How many of you know how to ride a motorcycle? Okay. There's a few of you know how to ride a motorcycle and so forth. I've ridden a few times over the years. Not my favorite thing to do. But, it can be fun and enjoyable and so forth like that. But you have to learn how to ride one, right? You got to learn how to ride it. And they test you on it here in Florida. You got to pass the test. Now, if I don't pass the test, all right, I get on there, I pop it in first, and they say, all right, so I want you to drive around, and I run into a truck. First thing. Oh, can I have a second chance? What are they going to say? You need to come back another day. We think you need to do some practicing. And by the way, you might want to get your insurance card out because you're going to have to fix that guy's truck that you just ran into. All right? Now, you've got to learn how to ride. You've got to learn how to shift. You can't drive in first gear everywhere you go. All right? I remember when I was learning how to drive my dad's truck. He had a 3 on the tree. Anybody know what that is? And I put it down in first gear. Pull it toward you, down. And put it down. Dad, this doesn't go very fast. Well, that's because, son, you haven't shifted it into second gear. Yeah. Up into second gear. And get on up there. And it's, you got to shift down into third. Put it down into third, and then you were in the gear you were supposed to be in. You got to learn. Love instruction. The person that doesn't love instruction is brutish. All right? Look it up. That's a good word. That's your Bible assignment for this week. Look up the word brutish in the book of Proverbs. Mr. O'Pager, I think you have a section on your website, Proverb Practicals, on the brutish man. Right? Not Brutus, but brutish. Okay? All right. Loves instruction. The unwise hates instruction. Number 2. The wise man utilizes honest devices. Verses 2 and 3. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man who shall not be established by wickedness or wicked devices, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. All right, so the wise man, he uses honest devices. The foolish man utilizes wicked devices without consideration of the collateral damage that's caused. Over here again, he provides food for his family. Verse 11, what does the slothful do? Well, the slothful causes hunger, we learn in verse 27. He causes hunger. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. A man that will not work should not what? Eat. All right? That's the picture. The wise. Is it wise to provide for your family? I don't think anybody's, oh, no, that's not wise. No, of course it's wise. But the fool, the slothful, he doesn't take care of his family and he causes hunger. Not only that, verse 8 says that he's commended for wisdom. The wise man, he's commended. People think it's honorable that he's wise. Whereas over here, the fool is despised because of his perverseness. Now here's a good one, verse 10. Look down at this one. We don't often think about this in regard to wise or unwise, but a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. But the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Even the tenderest of the mercies of the wicked are considered to be what? Cruel. All right? So a wise person takes care of their animals. All right? Takes care of them. Make sure they're fed, watered, cared for. He uses his speech wisely. This appears several times in Proverbs 12, verses 13, 14, 17, 19, and 22. But what about the fool? Oh, he uses his speech to destroy. 4 times in that passage, it talks about the destruction of his words. Why? Because they don't go through the filter of wisdom. He controls his temper, verses 15 through 16. The foolish man lacks personal self-control, verses 16 and 18. Can't control himself. And then finally, he does not showcase his or her knowledge. Look at verse 23 in closing here. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. The whole idea behind that in the Hebrew language is the prudent man is not going around showcasing his knowledge. Look how smart I am. He doesn't do that. He doesn't showcase his knowledge. But what does the fool do? He showcases his knowledge and arrogance. He just puts it out there. The splatter pattern is everywhere with his knowledge, which is really foolishness as identified in the Scriptures. Folks, the filter of wisdom is one of the greatest blessings that God has provided to us. It's one of the greatest blessings. Why do so many people avoid the wisdom filter? It's because they're afraid that God will say, that's not wise. And they want to do it. They don't want anybody telling them they can't do it. And so they discard it. They move through it. And then they deal with all the ramifications of their choices and their decisions. Listen, folks, in this day and age that we live in, very few people are living the wise life. They're not living the wise life. They're living a very unwise life, and as a result of that, they have all kinds of difficulties and trials and troubles and problems and so forth that are self-inflicted. Self-inflicted. I'll close with this. We had the kickoff game for University of Florida football the other day. I went home all excited about the football game, and I watched four quarters of terrible. Okay? Four quarters of terrible. Alabama comes out yesterday. They won 51 to nothing, I think it was, the final score. I mean, they just mopped up the ground with the team. Florida was out there. It was just a comedy of errors, all right? Playing a team that they should have been able to beat. One of the things that Billy Napier said afterwards, said, we made a lot of unwise choices. You think? We made a lot of unwise choices. Offensive line was not paying attention to the defense, and as a result, Florida scored 11 points. All right? That's terrible. How do you score an odd number of points? You're just terrible. All right? Now, I hope it gets better for them. And I watched a lot of college football yesterday, and there's a lot of potential in the SEC for Florida to get boot stomped the entire season. But my point is this. The coach comes out and says, we made a lot of unwise choices. Coaching-wise, player-wise, unwise. And he said, we got to work on that to make wise choices, wise decisions with the ball. Now, if they can identify that in football, you think we can identify that in our Christian walk? Do I hear an amen? Yeah, I think we can. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I pray that you'd work in our hearts and lives. Lord, we're living in very difficult times. It's already hard enough to live the Christian life, but if we erase the filter of wisdom, we're doing ourselves a great, great disservice. Lord, I thank you so much for what your word says about wisdom. I thank you for Proverbs 12, Proverbs 14, the entire book of Proverbs. So much of what is given to us in the word of God is wisdom. And I pray that you'd help us to put it into practice in our hearts and lives. We do ask, dear Father, that you'd help us to live effective lives. Not lives of poor choices and unwise decisions, but rather, Father, decisions that have been filtered through the gate of wisdom. Precious Father, I pray that you'd work in a powerful way. Maybe there are some here today that say, Lord, I've been making a lot of foolish decisions, foolish choices, just doing things because I want to do it this way, not based upon any kind of wise action, but rather just something I want to do. I pray that you would cause that individual or individuals to stop and to consider, have I filtered this through wisdom? Is this something that I really should do? Or is this something that I just want to do? sometimes the want-to-dos can be very problematic in the future that are sometimes are unable to be overcome because the choice was so dramatic. Lord, I pray that you'd work in a very powerful way to stir up hearts and lives today to consider this filter that's provided, this moral directive that is provided in your word. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymn books, please, and turn with me to number 595. 595, we're going to stand together. Sing stanza 2. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Would you stand together? 595, we'll sing that second stanza together. Dismiss us now with thy blessing. Watch over many of our people who are away this weekend for Labor Day. Keep them safe, dear Father, and I pray that you'd help us to honor thee by being a faithful witness, a light and testimony in our community. There are many people that we're going to meet throughout this week that are without the Lord Jesus. Help us to share the good news of the grace of God with them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.